Mike Rabinovich here, and this is the Modelo's Conversations with Data Warehouse Experts podcast series. Our mission in these podcasts is to speak to the best minds in the data warehouse and BI space, and to get their take on the state of the business and find out what they think the future holds. We are also committed to do it in a way that adds value to tech professionals, while at the same time is clear and compelling for the business managers and executives they collaborate with every day. In today's episode, it is my pleasure to welcome Hans Mihelis, a highly respected independent business intelligence and data warehouse consultant based in Utrecht in the Netherlands. He's also founder and moderator of datawarehouseautomation.guide, which we will be talking about in this podcast. Welcome, Hans.
Thank you, Mike. Welcome. Thank you.
I'd like to start by asking you to tell us a little bit about your background for our listeners who have not had a chance to hear you speak, work with you, or have come across the Data Warehouse Automation Guide.
My name is Hans Michiels. I'm an independent IT consultant since 1998, so 19 years now. I work and live in the Netherlands, and I work in the area of business intelligence. And more precise on the Microsoft stack using accelerators or data warehouse automation tools like the Modelo Architect whenever I can. It depends on the customer. I have a number of certification on Microsoft SQL Server and Data Vault Modeling. And as you already mentioned, I'm founder of the website datawarehouseautomation.guide. And this is a website where you can compare data warehouse automation tools and can find more information on them. And it also has a short domain name, which is dwa.guide. That's about it in a nutshell, I think.
In your experience over the last 5 years or so, where have you seen the most significant changes in the data warehouse space?
Most significant changes? I think there are two important changes. First of all, the broader acceptance of modeling techniques like Data Vault and to a lesser extent anchor modeling. Especially Data Vault has become an accepted mainstream system of data warehousing and business intelligence. And another significant change is that new technologies arised or grew bigger. For instance, cloud technologies like Amazon Web Services, Microsoft Azure and PowerBI.com. But also database technologies in the cloud, like Snowflake Data Warehouse. And also the last years, a lot has been spoken about big data. I think it's a bit of a buzzword and a bit overrated. But still technologies like Spark and Hadoop can be used in certain use cases when there are huge volumes of data.
Do you think that the current slew of data warehouse products are adequately addressing the increasing complexity of data, as well, I should add, the exponential increase in data flows and sources?
This is a difficult question, because I think for increasing complexity, and there is no simple answer. Increasing complexity just means that you have to do more effort to gain useful insights from the source data. And you also mentioned exponential increase in data flows. If you mean increasing number of sources, I think that classic ETL tools will fill big time by adding new sources to data warehouses, because those tools, it's all manual labor to add all those sources, and it just takes too much time and it's too expensive for most companies. And apart from that, the time to consumption of the data will be far too long. Business users need insights from new data sources quickly, and say you should be able to absorb a new source in a few weeks to a few months. And with those classic ETL tools, this could take much longer. And there is no need to accept this or think that there is no other way. Because with data warehouse automation, yeah, you can do this much faster.
Before we get into the automation part of it, I want you to also comment on some writers that have put articles out there stating that the data warehouse is dead. What's your take on that?
I disagree with that. I don't think the data warehouse is dead, nor that it will be dead within 10 years or so, because a lot of companies, small and medium enterprises, still use CRM, ERP, and other systems that contain data, for which a data warehouse is a good way to get useful insights from those systems. There are also reporting tools that work directly on the source data or an exact copy of that. But I think those tools will have a difficult time when the number of sources grows and the complexity increases. Because I remember when before I was an independent consultant, I worked for a consultancy firm in the Netherlands, Capgemini, and we already made reports in Microsoft Access and in Crystal Reports on source systems. But yeah, we found out that this was not the best way. It had a performance impact on the operational systems, and when data needed to be integrated, it didn't work. So then we thought, then that's why data warehouses became more popular. But nowadays, yeah, people seem to have forgotten about that, and or they don't know at all. And so they do things directly on source system, and the history repeats itself. So, but in the end, I think for structured data, I think the data warehouse still has added value, and that will not change in the near future, Mike.
Speaking of areas that have been written about a lot, one of them is the cloud. As more and more companies are adopting it, what do you think will be the impact on their data warehouse projects?
In a technical sense, I don't think the impact is necessarily that big. And because instead of storing your data on-premise on a server, you just send it to Azure, Amazon, or any other cloud storage. One impact I can think of is how to transfer the data fast. Solutions can be to use change data capture, so you only send the inserted and modified data and the deleted data if you want to detect deletion. And other solution can also be to make sure that between sources and data warehouse there is a high bandwidth internet connection, for instance using optical fiber technologies. So for dashboards there can be an impact. You can imagine if you have dashboards on mobile devices, it's an advantage if data is stored in the cloud, but also with the products like Power BI Gateway, you can achieve almost the same result, and then your data is on an on-premise server. So cloud is just a natural evolution, I think, for BI. But yeah, it just works, and the impact is reasonable. But from a legislation point of view, maybe you didn't keep that in mind when asking the question. There might also be an impact because in the European Union we have a new law, the General Data Protection Regulation, and that will become into effect in May 2018. And that has impact on what you can do when you store data about customers. And maybe if you have a server that is stored in the US, you don't have to apply to that law, and if it's in the European Union, you have. I don't know, but that are things to keep in mind and to find out if you are storing data in the cloud, which law is applicable.
And this regulation applies to data stored in the cloud within the European Union?
I think so. I'm not sure if it's also applicable to citizens from the European Union when the storage is physically outside the European Union. But yeah, that's something to find out if you are using cloud technologies. It's important for companies to understand which legislation is applicable when I use cloud storage.
Yeah, we'll make sure to add a link to that in the show notes as well. That's a very important piece of information to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. In terms of data warehouse automation, you also, in addition to your consulting practice, are the founder of Data Warehouse Automation Guide. How did it come about?
As a consultant, I was doing project with the Microsoft technologies and some own scripting, but I was looking for a better way, and I knew there were a number of those tools, but I only knew them by name and I didn't know them all. So I started to do a serious investigation just for my own usage, which tools can I use and what are the features. But I couldn't find that information on the internet, so except from websites of vendors, but that were sometimes more like marketing brochures than that really gave me useful information. So I started to contact all those vendors and sent them a questionnaire, and most of them filled it in, and it gave me a good overview of the capabilities of all the data warehouse automation tools around. So I could give a good advice to my customers. But then I thought, well, now I have all this information. It's a pity to keep it for myself. I can share it with the business intelligence community. But it was just too much to put on one blog post, because yeah, it was like, 50 questions or so and 30 tools. So it was really a lot of information. So I put it on a website and it has become dwa.guide. That's how it went.
In terms of speaking of the impact of automation, how do you think it's affecting the delivery information to businesses?
I think it can it will have a big impact, because with data warehouse automation, yeah, you will be able to deliver to the business much faster. To make a comparison with the automotive industry, there are, as far as I know, no manufacturers anymore that do not use automation in their manufacturing plants, because if you build a car and you would do it 100% manually, yeah, it would just become a car that's far too expensive and you wouldn't sell it. But yeah, in business intelligence, we're a little behind and we still do all the manual work, while we could also automate parts of that work, which would make that we would work much more efficiently. And it has proven that with data warehouse automation tool, a productivity gain of 50% or more is easily feasible, in some cases up to 80%. It depends a bit on the complexity of your source systems. But you can imagine what that means in terms of human resources costs. The advantages is huge. So the license cost for a data warehouse automation tool is earned back very quickly, and it's almost a no-brainer if once a manager realizes this. But apart from the cost decrease, the information to delivery to the business can also be much faster. So I would say it's a win-win. It's cost less and it's much faster, but still, companies are reluctant in applying it. So I think it's just awareness that is missing.
In our projects at the Modulo, we often find that technical teams are quite knowledgeable when it comes to this. It's on the business side that we find a knowledge gap. You know, based on your experience, where could executive and business people go to educate themselves a little more, or to integrate a lot of the knowledge more quickly, so they can work more smoothly with their tech teams? And it could be a book, a resource, or just a piece of advice that you can share with them.
To be honest, this is a difficult answer, because I don't think there is a single source that has all answers. But yeah, when you search on YouTube on data warehouse concepts, there will be some interesting videos. And also, if I may give some advice, I think for executives, it's important are a few things. Important that you understand the concept of dimensions and facts, because dimensions and facts introduced by Ralph Kimball are the cornerstone of modern data warehouse, at least at the presentation side of things. And if you understand them, it will be easier to communicate with the technical guys, because then you speak the same language. It's also important to understand the concept of data integration, data cleansing, and master data management. Data integration means that data of different systems is integrated, so that you have a merge list of customers, so to say. And it's important to have an understanding. It's important to understand the importance of having a data warehouse that loads and integrates the data and prepares it to be useful in reports and dashboards. So that's what I thought earlier. If you do things directly on source systems, some things are very difficult, but it's not possible. And a data warehouse is a solution for that. And last but not least, understand that the data warehouse is not what you see. Often managers refer to a data warehouse and they say they look at a dashboard or a report, but the dashboard or the report is only the outcome of a system that is behind it. And it's only the top of the iceberg, and sometimes the team really has to do work, say, on the system that you don't see, and you don't see a lot in the front end of the report or the dashboard, but still work needs to be done, and sometimes that is not well understood by managers.
That's an excellent point, Hans, because we see when we speak to C-suites that their focus is often on the dashboard, as it should be. But I think bringing to the table the understanding that dashboards that are not just pretty, but they're actually accurate, are really dependent on what underlines them. And that's where the, as you mentioned, the data warehouse is playing the really the key role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Can I add one more thing to that? I have also, in my experience, I've also seen systems where managers really were keen on having results quickly in a dashboard. And if you put a team too much under pressure, then the structure underneath might be less good. But you don't see it, and they think we have to deliver. So we need to do a shortcut. But as a manager, you should make sure that the structure is good for maintenance and long-term benefits.
I'd like to switch gears now for something completely non-technical, where our audience can get to know our podcast guests a little bit better. So my first question to you, Hans, if you're ready, is what is your go-to TV show that you like to watch or binge on, as the case may be?
My TV show, I like to watch Netflix, because it's video on demand. You can see it when you have time, you know the concept. And my problem is that when I start watching a series, then I always want to know how it ends. And currently, I'm watching Bloodline, which is a series with three seasons. And it's about a family that seems upper class family, but under the hood there are a lot of problems, and it gets worse and worse. And it's all very hypocrite. So. Once you get once I start watching it, I just
you can't stop.
I want to know how it ends.
Another question for you: if any of us visits Utrecht or the region, what's the one restaurant we'd have to go to?
The one restaurant my wife and I like to go to, a sushi restaurant, which is really good. It's always busy there, and it's not in Utrecht, but in Vianen. It's on the south, on the south part under Utrecht. It's about, I think, 15 kilometers from Utrecht, and it's sushi, and it's called Shizen. And it's really a nice restaurant if you like sushi. The quality is good, and the food comes quickly. You don't have to wait long, so it's excellent.
So now we know where we have to go when we visit. So just my final question here, Hans, where can our audience find out more about you and the work you do and the Data Warehouse Automation Guide, if you could mention that URL again?
First, my personal website, it's as my name is, hansmichiels.com. It contains my blog and some additional information like LinkedIn and Twitter details. And about the data warehouse automation guide, the website is, as I mentioned, the short domain name is twa.guide. I also blog on that website now and then. You can also subscribe to a newsletter. The first one still has to come, but you can already subscribe. And last but not least, the Twitter account for that website is DWA Guide. And I tweet there about all the news that vendors of data warehouse automation tools have. Also, if there's a new blog post on the website, you will find a tweet there.
And where can folks sign up for the newsletter? On which site?
That's on the DWA Guide, www.dwa.guide.
Great.
Or Data Warehouse Automation Guide. .guide. The full name does also work. But.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Hans. It was very informative, and hopefully we can get to do a second round at some point.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, it was nice for me too, Michael. Thank you for inviting me for the interview.
My pleasure, and thanks for listening out there. We will upload the podcast to our blog, and as well as some notes from the show regarding the resources and URLs that Hans mentioned. Thanks for listening. Till next time.